What if you could replace 10 kilograms of a critical material with just 300 grams of an advanced additive and get even better performance? It sounds impossible, but Chinese plastics manufacturer Genius just did it in EV battery packs. This isn't science fiction anymore. It's this week's competitive reality. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping manufacturing and trade. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are laser-focused on one of the most hyped materials of the 21st century, graphene. For years, it's been a story of lab-scale miracles and commercial disappointment. But the headlines from early July 2026 tell a different story. Graphene and its cousins, carbon nanotubes, are finally scaling up, getting designed into major products, and creating new competitive threats. Today, we're breaking down the maturation of the global graphene supply chain, its immediate impact on the EV battery wars, and a new composite material out of China that could rewrite the rules for electronics and power systems. Troy, let's start with the biggest historical barrier to graphene adoption: reliable industrial-scale supply. For years, executives have told me, "Great material, but I can't buy a ton of it." Is that finally changing?
It is. And this week provided two crucial data points. First, Graphene Manufacturing Group, or GMG, in Australia announced on July 6th that its new second-generation graphene production plant is fully operational. Second, a UK firm, Haydale, demonstrated successful component-scale manufacturing of nanocarbon composites.
Okay, so break those down. What does a second-generation plant from GMG actually mean for a manufacturer in Ohio or Bavaria?
It means predictability and volume. This plant has a 10-ton annual capacity. While that sounds small compared to steel, for a high-performance additive, it's a significant milestone. It signals that graphene is moving from a research material to a true industrial product. It supports GMG's own products, like their Thermal XR coatings. They just announced that coating surpassed 30,000 hours in a salt spray corrosion test with zero corrosion.
30,000 hours? That's over 3 years of constant salt spray. That's incredible.
Exactly. This isn't just a lab result. So for a US or European manufacturer of HVAC systems, industrial heat exchangers, or even data center cooling units, this is a direct opportunity. You can now procure a coating that drastically extends asset life in corrosive environments and improves thermal efficiency.
And what about Haydale in the UK? How does their development fit in?
Haydale's breakthrough is about integration. Graphene is useless if it just clumps together in a resin. Haydale uses a patent-pending plasma process to functionalize the nanomaterials. This allows the graphene to properly bond with a polymer matrix. They're now making full-scale reinforced composite panels.
Functionalize? You mean they make the surface of the nanoparticles stickier, essentially?
A very good way to put it. This process solves the dispersion problem, which has been a major hurdle. The result is composite panels with significantly improved strength and stiffness. Some resin systems see a 20% improvement. For an automotive or aerospace engineer trying to lightweight a vehicle body or a structural component, this is a game changer.
So what's the actionable insight here? If I'm a CTO at a manufacturing firm, what do I do on Monday?
You task your R&D and procurement teams with two things. First, get samples from these scaled-up suppliers like GMG and Haydale. Test them in your applications. Second, procurement needs to start vetting these companies as long-term strategic suppliers. The era of dismissing graphene as 10 years away is officially over. Your competitors are already placing orders.
This leads perfectly to our next story, which feels like the first true killer app for these materials. On July 8th, Volkswagen's battery company, PowerCo, named a key supplier for its next-generation EV batteries. Troy, tell us who it is.
It's a Luxembourg-based company called OCAxial. They are now a key supplier of single-wall carbon nanotubes, which they market as Tubal, for PowerCo's unified cell battery platform.
A Luxembourg-based unicorn, I should add, according to the latest startup Blink rankings. Why is this so significant? It's one supplier deal.
Because it embeds nanotechnology at the core of the battery chemistry for one of Europe's largest automakers. OCAxial's nanotubes are being integrated into both the anode and the cathode. This isn't a minor additive, it's a fundamental performance enhancer. The nanotubes create a highly conductive, flexible, and robust network within the electrodes.
And for the EV driver, what does that mean in plain English?
It means faster charging, longer range, and a longer-lasting battery. The nanotubes drastically reduce internal resistance, which is what generates heat during fast charging. Less heat means you can push higher currents safely. It also improves energy density, so you get more range from the same size battery pack, and it enhances mechanical stability, mitigating degradation over thousands of cycles.
So how does this affect U.S. and European automotive manufacturers who aren't Volkswagen?
They are now on the clock. This sets a new performance benchmark. If your five-year battery roadmap relies solely on conventional graphite and cathode materials, you are at risk of being leapfrogged. This is a material science advantage. Look at what's happening in China. OCOXCL also partnered with Chinese plastics maker Genius. They replaced 10% by weight of carbon black in a battery pack composite with just 0.3% of OCOXCL's nanotubes.
That's the statistic from our opening. That's a massive weight reduction.
A massive reduction, and they achieved the target surface resistivity of 10 to the 3 ohm per square, required for lithium-ion battery safety standards. So U.S. and European manufacturers face a double threat. Their battery cells will be less performant, and their battery packs will be heavier than competitors using this technology.
What should trading companies and distributors be paying attention to here?
OCOXCL is the key player globally. They have production in Serbia, supplying PowerCo's factory in Germany. Distributors need to understand their product line. It's not just raw nanotubes, it's pre-dispersed concentrates that are easier for manufacturers to handle. Sourcing and building expertise in these concentrates is a major value-add opportunity.
And the bottom line for executives in the auto industry?
You need to ask your battery and materials teams this question immediately. What is our carbon nanotube strategy? If the answer is, we're watching it, you're already falling behind. You need to be testing and validating these materials now, either with OCOXCL or emerging competitors.
Beyond batteries, these materials are starting to fundamentally change core industrial components. A company called the Sixth Element Group made a big announcement on July 7th at the Global Graphene Commercialization Summit. What have they developed?
They've achieved advanced commercialization of a graphene copper composite material. By integrating graphene into a copper matrix, they've created a material with electrical conductivity that is even higher than pure copper.
Higher than pure copper? How is that possible? I thought copper was the benchmark.
Graphene has exceptionally high electron mobility. By creating a composite, the Sixth Element is leveraging graphene's properties to enhance the bulk conductivity of the copper. It reduces power loss during electrical transmission. This is a fundamental materials improvement.
So where would this be used? What does this disrupt?
Think about anything that uses copper to move electricity. The company is targeting four key sectors: high-efficiency power transmission cables, electrical contacts, high-performance electric motors, and power electronics.
This sounds like a direct threat to U.S. and European manufacturers in those spaces.
It is, and it's a significant one. For a European motor manufacturer, a competitor using this composite could build a lighter, more powerful, and more energy-efficient motor for an EV or an industrial robot. For a U.S. company making components for the power grid, this composite could offer a way to reduce transmission losses, which is a massive economic and environmental benefit. The Sixth Element is a Chinese company, so this represents a potential technology gap.
What should Western trading companies and distributors know about this? This seems like a hot product to source.
It is, but it comes with complexity. They need to understand the material specifications, its performance under different thermal and mechanical loads, and its cost-benefit ratio. There are also significant geopolitical and supply chain considerations when sourcing such a critical, advanced material from a single region. Market timing is key. They should be establishing relationships and technical dialogues now to understand the product's maturity and scalability.
So, what's the actionable advice for an executive at a company that makes, say, industrial power converters?
The first step is to get this material in-house for benchmarking. Your material science team needs to verify the conductivity claims and test its workability. Can it be drawn into wires? Can it be stamped into contacts? The second step is a strategic review. If the material is as good as claimed, do you have a plan to compete? That could mean developing a partnership, finding an alternative Western supplier, or kickstarting your own R&D into similar composites. Ignoring it is not an option.
All right, Troy. A lot to process this week on the materials front. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the graphene and carbon nanotube supply chain has matured. Companies like GMG in Australia and Haydale in the UK are demonstrating reliable industrial-scale production. It's time to move these materials from your R&D watch list to your active procurement and product design strategy.
Second,
the electric vehicle revolution is becoming a materials science race. The OCIAL and Volkswagen PowerCo deal is proof that the next big leap in battery performance, faster charging and longer range, is coming from nanotechnology integrated directly into the cell chemistry. Every automaker and supplier needs a clear strategy for this.
And finally?
A new class of advanced composites is emerging, particularly from Asia, that threatens to disrupt core industrial components. The sixth element's graphene copper material is a prime example. U.S. and European manufacturers of motors, cables, and electronics must immediately begin benchmarking these new materials to avoid being caught with inferior technology. The competitive landscape for fundamental materials is changing fast.
A clear and urgent message. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us on Troy Technical Intelligence. We're here to help you separate the signal from the noise and turn technological change into competitive advantage.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. We'll be back next week with a deep dive into new advancements in photocatalysts and their potential to create a circular carbon economy. See you then.